So here's the topic for this morning. As Jordan said, over these next 3 weeks, we will be engaging with the historical event of Jesus Christ coming into the world. And this morning's topic is this: hope and expectation, the promise of the Messiah. So there are two parts here. One is a divine part, and one is a human part. God made this promise to the whole world, the promise of the Messiah to the whole world. But he raised up a nation, the nation of Israel, through whom he would fulfill that promise to the whole world. So, a question as we begin: why was a promise needed? And to answer that, we need to go back to the very beginning of what God has revealed to us in his word, the Bible, about the beginnings of everything, including the world. And I want to say at this point, there's a link with how the world was set up in the beginning by God with a word that Jews use. Jews will use the word shalom when they greet a friend or a family. They'll say shalom. And when they are saying goodbye, they will say shalom. This word shalom, the most simple meaning of it is peace. So when they greet one another or farewell, they say peace. But the word shalom is much deeper and broader than that. The word shalom includes things like wholeness, completeness, soundness, health, safety, prosperity, fruitfulness. It's a very huge meaning of everything good. And that describes the way God made the world in the first place. So why was a promise needed if everything was already wonderful? Well, let's go to a couple of lines in the early part of the Bible that shed some light on what was going on. Now, the human race began in what we might call innocence. There was no sin. The devil wanted to destroy all of that. He tempted Adam and Eve, and they gave in to the temptation and turned their back on God and fell away from him, and there was a great gap between them, and the shalom that God had created in the beginning was destroyed. Our sin, our nature was corrupted, and even creation itself was corrupted. But God had a solution, and this is where the promise comes in. And this is the first inkling that God had a plan. God was speaking to the devil, and he spoke of one to come in the future, and he says this about him to the devil. He says, "This one to come will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." So there's a battle going on here, but the special one to come will deal a death blow to the devil. He will crush your head. That cannot be recovered from. But the devil will strike the heel, this is figuratively speaking, of this special one to come, meaning the devil will injure him, but he will recover and he will live on. The first inkling of this promise from God, the first statement from God that he is going to rescue the world. So, this promise was to all of humankind. I want to, this morning though, focus really on how this promise unfolded in the eyes of the nation of Israel. How did they see and understand the development of this promise? What would it mean? What would it look like? Who is this one who was spoken of right in the beginning. It's a little bit like this puzzle. This is a very old jigsaw puzzle. Now, God is starting, if you like, to put the pieces of a puzzle together. And in that very first statement of the promise, it's like he put one or two pieces on the board. Ah, there's a picture going to take shape here. There's a lot of pieces left, but there are some in here. And we want to find out how they start to fill in and take shape. So as time went by, God added more pieces to that puzzle through his prophets, people who spoke the word of God. And we want to touch on just a very few words of God's prophets throughout the millennia. Just select a few key ones, and there are many others besides the ones we'll look at this morning, but we'll just select a few key ones to paint the picture of what God's plan was. So, let's jump into this puzzle again, and we'll move up to the time of Moses. Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt. Many people have heard of Moses. The Ten Commandments came through Moses. He was a prophet. Prophets revealed God's ways to the people. Prophets confronted people when they went astray from God, and they exhorted them to come back to God. Prophets spoke of future events. Moses was a prophet. Now, there would be many more prophets come after Moses, but he said something really important that added a key piece to the puzzle. What was that? He said this: "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him." Okay, so Moses is talking about a special prophet. Now, here is a list of, now I don't expect you to be able to read those names. These are some of the prophets who came after Moses, and altogether there were about 39 people in the Bible are spoken of as prophets. So here are some of them. But the Israelites then began to expect a special prophet, not just like the list here, a special one, called the prophet, the prophet. So as time went by, God showed the Israelites that this one to come was not only a prophet. What do we do here? Let's add some more pieces to the puzzle. The picture of God's plan is taking shape, but they still can't see what it looks like. Let's jump ahead to King David. David wrote many things that were prophetic in nature. And let's see what David said. Again, we're going to take a couple of lines out of a psalm that David wrote. And this is what David said about this special one to come. "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." Here's a prophecy from David. Now, two things I want to draw your attention to here. David says this special one to come is a priest. Oh, we knew he was a prophet, but now we see he's a priest. And also he's a priest forever. A priest forever. Let's look at a list of some of the high priests in Israel. These are most, if not all, of the high priests. It gets a little bit difficult when you look into this subject. It's not as simple as it might seem. But here's a list of high priests of Israel. Now, you notice about these priests, there are many of them. And why is that? It's because they kept dying. How did a person become a high priest? It's when the previous high priest died. And so then the next person would take up that role as high priest. And then that person would grow old and die, and then another one would take their place. So we see a succession of high priests in the nation of Israel. But the one that David wrote of will be a priest forever. Ah, very interesting. But hang on, there's something else important here about priests. The role of priests in Israel was to reconcile or atone for the sin of the whole nation of Israel. The high priest, once a year, performed a special ritual, and through that ritual, his own sin and the sin of the nation of Israel was atoned for 1 year. And then it would have to be done again the following year. Well, this special priest to come, who will be a priest forever, he's going to have to offer a sacrifice because that's what the priest did. Well, I wonder, will he offer a bull? Oh, no, probably a whole herd of bulls. But maybe a whole hillside of bulls. What will he offer? What will be adequate for a priest who is a priest forever? Let's jump further ahead to the prophet Isaiah and see what piece of the puzzle he adds to this picture. One of the well-known and beautiful passages in the Old Testament. This is just part of it. There's a whole wonderful chapter here in Isaiah chapter 53. If you want to look at that, you will find out so much about the one who was to come. But we're thinking at the moment here about a sacrifice that this priest forever will need to give, because that's what priests did. Let's look at it. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Oh, what? This high priest who will be a priest forever, he's going to suffer? That's new. It doesn't sound fair. Yet we considered him punished by God. We considered that he would be punished by God for his own, because he deserved it. We considered him stricken by God and afflicted by God for his own sins. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We, like sheep, have gone astray, and each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, this is quite a shock, because this special one to come, who is a priest forever, is going to suffer for us. Let's put some more pieces in here, because we are adding some pieces to this puzzle, but actually, instead of becoming more clear, it's becoming probably a bit more confusing, because this does not fit the understanding that people had. All right, but you see what's going on here? We see this priest forever suffering, and that is how he is going to crush the head of Satan. That's how he's going to do it. In a way that looked like he himself had met his own demise and would not recover, he was actually in God's deep and mysterious plan, dealing the death blow to the devil. This is how it was going to work. But it didn't make sense at that time. Okay, so the one to come is a prophet, not just a prophet, but the prophet. He's also a priest, and a priest forever, who is strangely going to suffer as well. What more are we going to learn? Staying with the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah spoke of a part of in the north of Israel called Galilee. And he wrote about the people who live in the north of Israel. He wrote from centuries beforehand, and he described those people in this way. He said, the people in that area are living in deep darkness, but they will see a great light. Isaiah's prophesying something that would happen 700 years later. People living in deep darkness will see a great light. More information, more pieces in the puzzle. What does that refer to? We sang this morning. Isaiah wrote these words. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Imagine the Israelites, they are looking ahead to the fulfillment of this promise that God gave, and they're seeing this person take shape before their eyes, more information about him. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. What? Mighty God? Everlasting Father? Prince of Peace? Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. His reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Okay, a couple of things I want us to note here in red. Government is on his shoulders. The government, he will reign. What are we talking about? We are talking about a king. A king. But remember, this prophet, this priest who will be a priest forever, look at what it says here about the king. Of his reign there will be no end. From that time on and forever, he will be a king forever. Now, here's a list of kings. You see, these three roles, these three offices in Israel were key offices in the functioning of that nation in the way God intended it to function. People hearing his word through his prophets, the high priests dealing with the sin problem, the way Shalom had been destroyed, and mankind was separated from God. The high priest fulfilled the function in atoning for that and pointing the way to God's final solution for sin. And the kings, actually kings were not intended to be there. This was to be a theocracy. God was meant to be the king, but as things unfolded, the people wanted a human king. So God allowed that. But the king, the role of the king was really important too in maintaining stability, law and order, governing the country the way God wanted it governed. So these three offices in Israel were really key to the functioning of that nation in the way God intended. And these three offices did not overlap. A prophet did not expect to be a priest or a king. A priest did not expect to be a prophet or a king. And kings were kings, not prophets or priests. They were separate roles. So this unfinished puzzle, that's what the Israelites had. As time went by, more pieces added. But that's what they had. And that's this part of our Bible. That's this part here. Many pieces of the puzzle in this part. That's what God had revealed to the Israelites. But let me read something from a letter. I actually read this several months back in church. This letter was written in 1943 by Marg's great uncle, I believe. So 80 years ago, 1943, in the middle of World War II, a time where hope of a good outcome for the world was really diminished. People probably just felt in despair about where the world was going. And remember, the topic for today is hope and expectation. God made his promise that the Messiah, the special one, would come, and the part of the of Israel was to hold that hope and that expectation. And God gave them information, pieces of the puzzle, time and time again, to keep that hope alive so they would hold on to God's promise. But they only had part of the puzzle. Let me read to you what Margaret's great uncle wrote 80 years ago to his family. He said, "Yes, these times are troublesome, and men are struggling for a new order under man. Different men striving during World War II to dominate other nations. They wanted a new order under man. But the only true order," he wrote, "the only true order that will be for the greatest good to mankind will be when all will recognize the only true and living God and his Son, the prophet, priest, and king." He wrote that in his letter describing the Son of God as the prophet, priest, and king. Well, we've got these three key roles in the nation of Israel, all of them necessary for the functioning of that nation. And here's somebody just 80 years ago describing one person as all three. Where did that come from? Well, it came because this is what the Jewish nation had, this part of God's revelation, but God provided the rest of his revelation to humankind in the form of the New Testament. And that's what we have. And that enables us to look back on the revelation that the Israel nation had and understand it fully, because we've got a lot more pieces. We've got a lot more pieces to understand what had been revealed to the nation of Israel. But look, there's still more there. Why is that? Because God's prophecies, his plans for the world, are not yet fulfilled. There's more to come, and it will come in the time that God decides. Well, Margaret's great uncle described the one to come as prophet, priest, and king. How can that be? How can one person be all of those? Jesus came 2,000 years ago. He was a prophet. He confronted people's sin. He exhorted them to turn to God, and he prophesied many future events. These are what prophets do. But now listen to how one person, the Apostle John, described Jesus. He said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh." He's describing Jesus Christ as the Word. Jesus Christ came as the living expression of God. The revelation of God in the flesh. Talk about a prophet. You see Jesus, you're with Jesus, you are seeing God, revealing God in his fullness. And God said to one of his followers, who said, "Jesus, show us the Father and that'll be enough for us." And Jesus said, "Philip, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Look at me and see the fullness of the Father." What do we see here? Not a prophet, but the prophet. This is the prophet that Moses spoke about and whom they've been waiting. He's arrived. The prophet has arrived. What about the priest? One of the songs we sang earlier had this line. Peace on earth and mercy mild. What's the next bit? God and sinners reconciled. That's the function of a priest. We can write those songs because we have the fullness of God's revelation in the New Testament, and we have our own experience of knowing God through faith in Jesus Christ. You really can come into relationship with God. It's not just nice words. You can come into a real relationship with the living God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so this one who came, Jesus Christ, he made that relationship with God possible by giving himself. He sacrificed himself so that we could be forgiven of our sin and restored to God. God and sinners, God and you and me reconciled. So Jesus wasn't just a priest. He went to the cross, gave himself for us, and now he's priest forever. And the Bible describes him as the great high priest. Not just one of those priests in the list. No, he is the great high priest forever. So there's one left. Kings. How is Jesus a king? We sang a song earlier. What child is this sleeping on Mary's lap? This is who? Christ the King. Christ the King. We sang praise forever to the King of Kings. We can sing those words because we have seen through the New Testament explaining who Jesus is, that this is the state of things. He is the King of Kings. Now, he is a powerful king. He will come with an army of angels. He will overthrow our enemies of sin and death at the appointed time, and he will reign in righteousness forever. All right, so we've got the puzzle here. We've got the puzzle. You have all you need to know in order to have eternal life in Christ. More to come. God will unfold those in his time. But there's an interesting question. Why did the Jews not accept Jesus when we see who he is? Why did they not accept him as the promise of God? They were waiting. They were hoping and expecting for so long, and when he came, they didn't see it. Why not? There are different reasons, but one of the key ones is they were expecting they kind of narrowed their understanding of who he is to a conquering king. That was what they were expecting. And at the time of Jesus, the domination by the Roman Empire, they were expecting not somebody who came and died on a cross, but someone who came with an army and conquered the Roman army and restored the land to the nation of Israel. That's what they were expecting. Jesus didn't do that. He will, but he didn't do it at that time. And so they missed the coming of the king. But he has come. And we who believe in him today have received the promise as God foretold. We've received him. So the Jews are still hoping, they're still expecting, but praise God, by his grace, we've already received the promise. So at Christmas, we celebrate that he arrived 2,000 years ago. What do we say? Welcome, Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we rightfully worship you. You are the prophet You are the great high priest. You are the King of kings. All the kings of the earth, any other king who ever lived or will live, you are king over all. And we thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you are more than willing, you want to come into our lives and reveal yourself to us and give us life forevermore. Thank you, Jesus. Please continue to make these things known to us that we might live in the fullness that you offer us. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray.